Blog Talk Radio.
Life, growth, and wellness.
Right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I'm Sandy Rogers, and it is my extreme pleasure to be your hostess tonight. So I get so excited every Tuesday because I have the absolute most outstanding guest ever who have agreed to come and share their expertise with you. So it always just fills me with so much joy to have these incredible individuals. And tonight is another one of those nights. We have an incredible guest with us, Mr. Charles Campbell. I will be introducing him shortly. But, you know, there's always a couple of things that we got to do before we truly get the show started. So the first thing, the absolute first thing that we do is we give thanks to our ancestors, for all of the ancestors, because they're always with us, and especially on Tuesday nights as we discuss issues that are not ordinarily talked about out in the open. And you'll understand more about what I mean as Mr. Campbell breaks this thing down to us tonight, his message for men. And so ancestors, we are just so incredibly lifted and strengthened by your presence in our lives. And so we just want to give you thanks. We want to give you a nice shout out and to let you know that you appreciate it and that we understand that you got us. You got our backs, our fronts, our tops, and our bottoms, and we love you. We love you forever and ever and ever. Ashe. So, you know, bringing those ancestors in brings you so much strength. Try it sometimes if that's not a practice that you normally do. And the ancestors are always there waiting. So, yes. It's all about life. It's all about love. And it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called A Message for Men. And our guest is Mr. Charles Campbell. Now, June has been designated or set aside or however you want to say that as Men's Health Month. And so this is the last day of June, and it's the last of our male speakers for this month. And Mr. Campbell has an extremely important message for the men particularly, but it's not just for men, it's for all of us, so that we walk in alignment with the way things are to be set up. So we'll be bringing him on shortly. And so, audience, you know, you're always invited to join in the discussion, and all comments are welcome, and our intention is that every voice be heard. And so our call-in number here is 516-531-9819, and you just press 1 if you want to speak live on air with us. And a lot of our listeners go back and listen to the show over and over again, and the mics are extremely sensitive. So If your line is open and you're completed with what you're saying, if you would just mute your phone so that there's no disruption in the sound, we would really appreciate it. And again, you know, you can stay on, but just mute your phone, and then if you have something to say, of course, you can just open your line back up. So any of the shows that you would like to go back and listen to, you can do that at www.blogtalkradio.com/SandyRogers, SandyRogers. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take us a quick music break, and then when we come back, we're going to bring on Mr. Campbell because he has some words of wisdom for all of us. I can't wait to bring him on. So we'll be right back, you guys. That was Pick Somebody Up, and the artist is Raul Madone. And that the lyrics just remind me of Mr. Campbell, in the way that he does what he does. So welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. And remember, you're welcome to call and chat on live on air with us at 516-531-9819. And you just press 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air. So it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So our message for today, our topic for today, is a message for men with Mr. Charles Campbell. Mr. Campbell comes with a powerful message to men, but particularly to fathers regarding paternal rights. His message will open your eyes, as they did mine, to certain rights that we sometimes overlook or really not even familiar with that they exist. So what does he mean by saying men must be a legal father? Is there a difference between being a biological and legal father? And so we invite you to hear Charles clarify these points of view with us tonight. And he specializes in the field of children without fathers. And this is why I played that song before to kind of get us into the mood, because he says he's very passionate and compassionate about how he serves community. And he comes with a wealth of knowledge to share with us. And so I would recommend that you sit back and prepare yourself to be fully engulfed with the knowledge and with the wisdom that Mr. Charles Campbell will be sharing with us tonight. Welcome to the show, Mr. Campbell. I am so thankful you had the time to come and share with my audience tonight.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me?
I can, yes, sir.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Thank you all. Thank you for having me. And thank you for this opportunity to talk about something I am passionate about, because I know what it is to be a single parent. I've been down that road before. My background is I'm a son of a lady, a single mom that has 6 children, 3 boys and 3 girls. And then I got a divorce, and I ended up we had joint custody, but the kids stayed with me, and then they spent weekends with their mom every once or twice a weekend a month. So I know what it is to be a single parent. So from that end of the experience of doing it, also being a single parent, and at the same time I was in school, and I was a juvenile probation officer. Also, I did 12 years of juvenile probation and 12 years of being a deputy here in Athens, Clark County, Georgia. And so I've had my experience of dealing with adults and children, but I kind of like to specialize with kids, because they're people that you can kind of help guide. And so that's what I learned a long time ago, is to be a person that helps children, you got to have a good heart. And that was one of the things that led me into that. So I, doing all this process of kind of being a juvenile probation officer, I saw about 90% of the time that parents brought their children to court, it was a mother and a son, or a mother and a daughter. It was very rare that we had men to come to court with their children. It was mainly children of single parents. So, you know, I'm going to talk about, afterward I talk about men and their responsibilities being a legal father. I'm going to talk about the effect it is on kids. So the thing I want to try to get across to men, because a lot of men think that when you sign the back of a birth certificate, oh, I'm the daddy, I'm the father, and you are, but you have no legal rights. And a lot of guys don't understand that when you have a child out of wedlock, you give that right to just that mother. The courts and the system is set up for if a mama has, if a couple has a child, that child is, you know, have a mother and a father. But when it comes to legalities, they have a mother if they're not married. When you're married, you're automatically child is legitimated. So the three things I really try to harbor in on for men is to realize three things I ask them to do. If you have children out of wedlock, which means you had a child when you wasn't married to that mother when the child was born. So that means that, okay, you need to file, first of all, the first thing I tell you to do is get a DNA test. I know everybody said, I know that's my child and all that, and I trust her. I just, it has nothing to do with trusting the woman. It has something to do with your legal rights. If you get a DNA test and you are the father, then the next thing you need to do is get your child legitimated. And when you get your child legitimated, that gives you the same rights that the mom has. So I have some stories I've seen on Facebook and hear people talking. You know, we talk, you know, in the barbershop, you do a lot of talking, guys. And one of the things, hardly nobody in the barbershop knew that when you father a child, if you're not married, then you're not the legal father of that child. You could be the biological father, but you're not the legal father. And the way that works is if you are not married, you're not legal as the legal father. You're the biological father, but you still got to pay child support. They still will come after you for child support, being the biological father or the father on the birth certificate or the father that the female says that you're the father. They still will come after you. And a lot of guys done paid child support, and then they find out when they get the DNA that they wasn't the father. You know that, and I don't know how real the Marvin Povich show is about you are not the father that we hear all the time, whether that's real or that stage. Regardless, that happens in real life to a lot of people where they find out you are not the father and you done paid. So that's what my thing is to tell everybody, get a DNA test. Just for the purpose of being legal. I had someone I told that to do that, and then he went back and told the female that he even thinks you were cheating because he told me to get a DNA test. And I said, no, I told you to get a DNA test so you can have the right. So the next thing you do will be filing for legitimation. So the thing I got to get in men's mind that a lot of guys in the barbershop did not know, that if you're not legitimated, then you're not the father. Not for his legal rights, because I asked him the question. I said, okay, if you're the father and that mother dies, who normally jumps up to the plate and take the child? Grandmama. Because she said, that's my baby. That's my baby. He ain't going to get my child. Well, she's going to have the same rights you got until you go to court to prove that you're the father. So I would advise every man, I don't know how it works in every county because it's different courts. Some have probate court, some have municipal court, and some have state court, some have superior court that does it. I know here in Clark County you go through superior court. But every court is different in each county because Georgia has 159 counties. So I don't know the law in for each county, but I do know you can go through the court system and you can get your child legitimated. And once you get it legitimated, then you ask for visitation rights. Well, or they call it, some time that you can spend with your child. Because every time if you're not the legal father, who usually have the control of when you can see that child, when not? It's the mom. So she have all the legal rights. She don't have to get legitimated because the child comes from her, so she automatically has that right. You just want to get equal rights, you know. And so I would employ every man that has a child, and if he wasn't married when he had the child, get yourself legitimated to your child. And I know some guys don't want to go to court. Some guys don't want to do it. I'm not talking to the ones who don't want to step up to the plate because they're not going to do it anyway. But the guys are trying to do the right thing. Ma'am?
No, I was just agreeing with you. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But yeah. may I stop here and ask you a question, though?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
So is this process that you're telling us about, is it required in all states, or are you specifically speaking about Georgia? So I just want, you know, the audience that we have, the listening audience, are from across the nation, actually from around the world. So with this advice that you're giving, would it be applicable to all men that are listening?
Yes, because I haven't searched where it's definitely true, but because the word illegitimate and legitimation is when a child is married, and no matter what country, what state, then that mother and father is that legal parent. In any state, any country, they're the legal parents. But if they're not married, then they're not the legal parents.
Now,
so that means that it goes everywhere, because when a person marries and they have a child, everything falls in the way it's supposed to be. When you have a child outside of marriage, they call it unwed, having a child out of wedlock.
Right.
And so if they have a wedlock, that carries everywhere. It's not just United States. It's everywhere. So my advice is to find out how it is done in your county or your state, what the steps are, how to do it. Because I don't know about other states how it works, but I do know the legitimation automatic goes to a married couple. So now it's a trick to that, not a trick, but it's some things to that too that could be confusing to people. Let's say if I'm married to you, but you go and have a child by another man. By law, I'm the biological father. I mean, I'm the legal father. The other guy might be the biological father, but I would be the legal father, because although you would have stepped outside of the marriage, but you still become one. In marriage, you become one. So that would be my child. What would have to happen is I would have to give up my rights, and that child of that dad would have to adopt that child. I mean, I can adopt a child and then it could be mine, but if it's outside of marriage, then the person outside have to wait till the married man give up his legal rights. So
now that, you know, Charles,
I'm just saying that's kind of crazy.
No, but so that has actually happened. When I was living in California, this man lived next door to me, and that's what his wife did. Like, they had broken up. So she wasn't, like, cheating. Well, anyway, they were split. And she got pregnant by her new boyfriend or whatever. And when she came back, you know, with a belly and all it like that, he was like, "That's my child. That's my child." And I was like, "You guys haven't even been together. How do you say this?" So he was saying the same thing that you just said. Well, I'm her husband. So regardless to who got her pregnant, it's my child. And I was like, wow. I thought that was like the strangest thing that this man could have said. But now you're telling me he was right, huh?
Yes, because it's in the eyes of the law, is they are married. So everything happened between a husband and wife is legal for them. If she steps outside or he steps outside, if she steps outside and get pregnant, like you said, that neighbor did, is gonna, and they try to do something legally, by law, if she dies, he can say, "That's my child."
That's what
that
he said.
That man don't have no right of it. It's crazy, wow. But it's the truth. So
I thought he was
people,
crazy.
He was right.
I did. I was like, "Ooh, that child, yeah, wow." Okay.
Yeah. So the thing I tell guys and everybody, just go and get it done. So I mean, But the guys who are going to run away from them, they're going to run away from them anyway. So I'm not talking to them.
Right.
Talking to the guys who are trying to do the right thing. I've seen times when guys try to do the right thing and they have a new girlfriend and the baby mama, she just want to clown and she want to be a drama mama. And he can't see his child because, you know, she make up something. But it's mainly because he got a new girlfriend and she don't like the girlfriend.
Right.
And they got all kinds of things. That's why when he get legitimated, that gives him the same rights she got. And then that third thing I was trying to say, I was going to tell guys to do, you know, the first thing I said, get a DNA. Second thing, go get the child legitimated. And the third thing I tell the child to do, go and file for custody. I don't care whether the mom is a great mom or not. File for custody to show the child that I'll fight for you. File for custody
that.
To show the court that I love my child.
Hmm.
I got some friends like that that did that because they love their children. And a couple of them won, and they became, you know, the main parents that has the child, and the mother could possibly have to pay child support. So, but at the end of the day, whether you get custody or not, show the courts that I care, and show the child that I care, because I will fight for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my advice to men. Them the three main things I want to talk about on being a father. And a lot of guys, well, I don't know what to do. I tell them, look, give them what you got in you. If whatever you got in you, give it to your child, the positive, and teach them what you've learned over your life. Everybody has a story. So that means everybody has something they've been taught. Teach it to your child. And the Bible said that man's supposed to teach his child about the word. And that's what a child, and he's not supposed to agitate his child to turn away from it. But children are supposed to honor their mother and father. So if you're going to get honored, then you need to be deserved to have that honor by doing what you know is right, is to teach your children the right thing to do. You know, in today's time with all this stuff going on, with, you know, all the protests and everything, and we have to teach our boys what to say when they get stopped by a law enforcement officer and all that. Well, then if they don't have a father, then somebody else got to do it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I did that too. I've been in a second marriage, and I helped raise them too. They still love me. Them two still treat me like I'm their dad. Then they got a father, you know, that they know, but at the same time, they acknowledge me too. Because on Father's Day, which was a couple of weeks ago, I got in touch with all my three kids and my two stepkids. They still treat me like I'm their father, because I put that time in. I talk to them. I spent time with them. And I tell guys all the time, just spend time and teach them what you know. Tell them the stories of what you have done in your life. And then they learn from that. Kids don't always hear what you say, but they watch what you do.
Yeah.
I had so many kids, parents tell me that the kid, this is the way it happens. Father tell the kid, I'm coming to pick you up this weekend. And the kid sits out there and wait on that child, on that father. They wait. They wait all day and all year. He's coming. And he don't show up. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing they know, the mom tried to console the child. And then the child turned on the mom and said, you must have called him, told him not to come. You must have did this. You must have did this. You must have did that. And then they start acting out. They're only acting out because they hurt, because their father lied. Now, I tell a man, be a man of your word. If you can't come, call that child and say, baby, I can't make it, but I'm going to try to get there. The communication and the time, you can't beat that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. It's something that if you got it in you and you give it to your children, they'll know it.
Yeah.
They'll come back later on and tell you how much you meant to them. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the thing that fathers don't understand. Yes, you got your life. But your life shouldn't be put above your children's lives. Because when you sign up for being a father, then you give up some things.
Yeah.
It's time to stop thinking about men. Don't be selfish. Think about your children. How can I make them to be the best they can be? Because that's a life that I signed up for when I got somebody pregnant. I signed up for it. Or you signed up for it even with your stepdad. There's some great stepdads out there. I want to give them credit. you know, because a lot of times people don't think about stepdads. Stepdads, a lot of them don't get the credit because they doing what the dad didn't do. But you know what? They put the time, and you don't have to get a pat on the back. They'll see it in the time when they deal with their children. And the children come back to them and say, you know, I still love you. You know, you meant something. You said this to me, and it meant something to me. That's all the pay you need. You don't need no money. You don't need no praise. Just come back and just say something nice. They don't know how much that makes a man feel good to have that, you know. But now, that was the thing of being a father. And we're hoping that this message can get men to do the things they need to do with them three things. And I'm going to remind them. First, get a DNA test. Second, get a legitimation done through the courts. And third, file for custody. Don't be afraid to file for custody of your child. Whether you think you're going to get the child or not, show everybody that you care, show the courts you care, and show your child you care. And that's when I was talking about being a father. Now, the effects, I got some statistics that I want to read off about. It's from the Fatherless Generation. Mm. And
that's the name of it, Fatherless Generation?
That's the name of the statistics, people that got the statistics. They got a website. It's the Fatherless Generation. And I thought it was an old one. I got back on it last night to make sure the numbers, see how they had changed, but the numbers were still the same. And I'm just going to go through this. It said 63% of youth, 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. That's five times the average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. That's 32 times the average. 85% of all children who show behavior disorder come from fatherless homes. That's 20 times above the average. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. That's 14 times the average. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. That's 9 times the average. Children with fathers, the father's factor in education, fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out from school. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% likely to repeat a grade in school. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to get A's in school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. 70% of all adolescent parents in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. That's 10 times the average. And one of the other ones that kind of stood out to me was 70% of youth in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. That's 9 times the average. So that's a large number of people that's in kids that's in institutions. 7% are from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth in prisons come from fatherless homes. And they said, 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. 71%.
Wow.
So the numbers of every number I read off are more than 50%.
Yep.
So it shows that if the father's not around, look at the effect.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the effect of not having a father in the home. The statistics, every category was negative. With father not in the home, was over 50%.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing under 50% or 50%. Everything was from 63% all the way up to 90% on
right.
different things.
Right.
So that's the effect I want to talk about is people don't understand that if a father's not in the home, how it affects the children. And a lot of times people don't, men especially, don't see that. Yeah, you can't stand that mom. Yeah, you and her fight. You and her don't get along. That's between you all. But the people that suffer is the child. Then you got parents who try to keep their children away from the father, whether he's a good father or not, they try to keep him away from him. And the person that's hurt is the child.
Right.
To me, a lot of times we as parents have a tendency to be selfish. We think about us, our own thing. You know, I don't know, he ain't going to be around. I don't want him around that old no-good joker. I don't want him to see that man, or he can't see him because I don't like his girlfriend. I don't like, his family don't like me. So my child ain't going around them. So it's all kind of reasons, but they're selfish. They're your reason. But what about the
yeah.
child and what the child
yeah.
wants? So, I mean, I know what it is to have a father-son day at school, and my older brother had to go. You know, I mean, I see about this day at go, but my older brother went. Because I'm the youngest boy out of six, and I got a sister up under me. So when stuff happened at school, you need a dad. My brother did it. Or my mom, she came to things. And I used to tell people all the time, my mom knew nothing about football. But when I played football in high school, my mom was always at the games. And it made me feel good to look back in that stand and see my mom. And I always
yeah.
used to say to myself, if nobody else cheer for me or care for me, I know my mom's there for me. And it made me feel good. I said, that's what people need to understand. You need to be at your child's game. You need to be in your child's life. Just be there. You might not have the money to pay child support. You might not have money to do a lot of things with your children. But give them that time. That time is what's most important in that communication. And when you can't do something, be man enough to say, son or daughter, I can't do that. I can't afford that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'll work on it. You know, so my thing to dad, you know, I've given you some numbers with the effect. I've given you things that a man need to do. And I just think everybody need to take some of this and think about it. Think about
mm-hmm.
your life. I know a lot of people tell me my son going through that, or you know, I went through that. Then help somebody else. We as people need to help each other.
Yes,
we know something, teach that to somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm always willing to talk to guys and try to pep them up and talk to them about what they need to do. And my line is always open to talk to people about what they need to do, or if they need to just talk to me, they want somebody to listen to them, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And so,
you really brought up some really interesting statistics and some information. So, I mean, I'm still stuck on your first three steps because I remember hearing that terminology, you're illegitimate. You know, as a young person, I mean, and I've heard it all my life, but I'm
yes.
just realizing since talking with you, Charles, that I never knew what that word really meant, being illegitimate, you know, because I didn't know that meant that the father has no rights. And so that could be the reason why the mothers, and I'm talking about, you know, way back when I was coming up, why they acted so, you know, nasty with the fathers, and because they treated them like you have no rights, you know, and this is my child, you know, mother's baby, daddy's maybe, or you know, how they said that. And so, thank you. I mean, I'm so serious. I am 70 years old, and I am just understanding with your help the meaning illegitimate. I never knew exactly what that meant, and so the veil has really been taken off of my eyes. So we got a caller. Let's see what we have to say here. 503-453, you want to give us your name and your comment or question, please?
Yes. Hello, Charles, and also Sandy.
Hey.
I'm coming into the program a slight bit late, but I have learned so much in my lateness from what I have heard from you, Charles. My question is, I agree with everything that you're saying, but I just want to know, many of these fathers are also coming from households that there was no father in the house. They have experienced the same pain that they're putting their children through of being the absentee father that doesn't show up for the father-son and the father-daughter dance, the father-son banquet, and, you know, sitting by the door with a little knapsack, you know, waiting on that car to drive up until the sun go down. Can't they remember the pain that they experienced when they were children? Why would anybody want to put their children through the same pain that they themselves went through when they were children? That's my question.
Well, I don't know exactly how certain guys like that think, but I grew up without a father. But it motivated me to be the opposite. And see, you just don't never know how that person that has that pain, how they're going to react. Some may react the right way. Some might, like, you know, I got hurt. And they just kind of, like, set it aside. You know, I was in a class, anger management class. One thing they said about childhood traumas and things that happen to you when you're a child, we put them in something what we call a little box over here on the right side, or, you know, on any side. But put it in the box. And sometimes that triggers you with certain things, and it brings it back. So I don't know if that person has that pain, and they put it in a box, and they try not to go back to it. It's like a blockage. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to deal with it. And they could be scared. A lot of times men are fearful, but men are too proud to say, I'm scared. I'm scared to go talk to my son. I don't know what to say. But a lot of times they won't say anything. They just stay silent. So, you know, in a lot of relationships, like you said, men don't want like to talk because a lot of times men are scared about things, but they don't tell nobody that. Then a lot of them don't have the guts to say, yeah, I'm scared. I'm sorry, but I'm scared. But he's like, no, I ain't scared, or I don't want to hear all that. I don't want to talk about it. So you just don't never know where a guy's coming from, what side of the fence they're on. So that's in just about any situation. You just don't never know how that person's going to take it. That's just the way I see it. I don't really know exactly how it is with guys who haven't, because I hadn't had to go through that. I've always did the opposite. I try to be there for my kids.
I have a son who also has a son, and there's friction between he and the mother. They just cannot get along. And now he's like hands off of his child. He doesn't try. He doesn't attempt to see or talk to the child. Well, for one thing, the woman has blocked him in so many ways, legally and all kind of ways. She's blocked him. So instead of him holding out, you know, faith and you know, he's tried to write letters to the child and it gets blocked. So now it's like the son is not even alive. All he does is work so that he can eventually become a millionaire, so that he can pay the child support legal stuff so he can get his son. And it's like, I feel so bad for that kid, because he doesn't know his father. He only knows what the mother's family has told him. And it's, you know, I just feel bad for the kid. And I feel bad for my son, because he's living in Never Never Dreamland. You know,
what are
the chances of that?
Well, let me ask you something. Don't you think he could, add some things if you didn't get a chance to hear, he needs to, was he married to her when they had the child, or did they have the child without being married, out of wedlock?
They had the child without being married. They were about to be married, and he broke off the marriage 9 days prior to the wedding. So that's the whole thing behind this. She's forever punishing her.
So what he needs to do is through the three steps. Go and get the DNA. I know he's the father, but go and get the DNA so he can have that legal part of that. The second thing he needs to do is go to whatever city y'all in, go to the court and ask for the file for legitimation of your child, and then file for custody. I don't care whether she got all the rights and everything. File for custody himself, and then see what the judge is going to say, because he may come to a common ground. The judge might order that he have 6 months with the father and 6 months with the mom. Who knows?
Okay.
So instead of trying to work to get to be a millionaire, he needs to. He's doing these little things there, and at the same time, he can work toward getting a millionaire, being a millionaire. But at this, the main thing is to file for custody and get the legitimation and the DNA. And that way,
okay,
if he do them things, tell him to try that. See how far he can get with that. And if the judge still don't give him custody, that's fine. But the judge will know that he's out here fighting. And the judge will be a lot more lenient toward trying to give him visitation rights and some rights to do things. A lot of guys, if you don't never try, you'll never know. And that's what I'm pushing out here, is that every guy needs to just try. Try to get these things done. And then if it don't work, at least you tried. The child can see, I fought you, you were fighting for me. I mean,
yes.
that you were fighting for him. So let him show his child that he's fighting.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Charles.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Finn?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. Oh, I'm just waiting on, I can't pretty much wrap up. I just want people to they can call in for questions, but I just mainly want people to know them three things, and I want them to know the effects that the, you know, these things happen when you're not in their lives, how it can affect their child. Like I told her, I know what it feels like to not have a dad. But I also know from being a probation officer, as a juvenile probation officer, I saw, you know, a lot of guys, you know, when they got by themselves with me, they want to talk. They talk to me, and a lot of them said, I want my dad. I want my dad. And that right there stuck with me. I could never forget that. And then the dads was them type dads that say they coming and then don't show up. And then they get angry. And they hold on to that anger, and nobody know why they're hanging, why they're mad, and why they acting out. It's because a lot of times you're not there. You know, you can buy toys and all this. That don't mean nothing. Child support don't raise a child. It might pay for stuff, but it don't raise them. Being there and teaching them, that's raising a child. And that is what's missing, is the being there, being in their lives. I worked at the alternative school 2 years ago, and one of the ladies I can remember, she said, you know what? He didn't act like that when his daddy was here. His daddy was locked up. He said when his daddy was here, he was an A student, no trouble. Now, this is one of the baddest kids we had at the alternative school. Always got mouth, always just talking back. And his mama said, I don't know what's going on with him, but ever since his dad left, he's a different kid. And that just stayed with me some more what I've been saying for years. We need guys to get involved in your child's life.
Yeah.
If you just have to spend every weekend or 2 weekends, build it up. Start slow and just build it up so you can try to, you know, show the judge that I've been coming around or they've been stopping, trying to stop me from coming around. But I just want guys to step up to the plate and start being in their children's lives. Because if you're never around, then how will your children know who you are? Then, you know, when your child becomes a pro athlete, it doesn't happen many a times. Then you want to come around. So I said, that's my song there. That's my song. And then you want to be in the barbershop doing all that talking. And then when he's going on stage, he'll never mention, I like to thank my mom. That's what I always say. They'll never say, I like to thank my dad, unless that dad was in their lives. Then they'll mention it.
And I want to bring up one other point, too, Charles, that I've seen, and I'm not sure if you'll be able to talk on it or not, but just so that the audience, maybe somebody in the audience have, but I've seen where a child has a father and perhaps maybe spent the first year or two with the father, and the mother goes on and marries somebody else and have an active new man in the child's life. But the child, I'm going to say secretly, only because they're unable to voice it, but the child secretly wants to have a relationship with his dad, you know, the dad that he knows. And when that doesn't happen, I've seen children, you know, just really act out. And so anyone looking at the picture would say, well, you know, she did the right thing by going to get another man. So you've got a stepdad. So, you know, everything should be okay with you. And nobody addresses the absence of the real dad and what that child, especially a boy, what he may be feeling about not having his biological dad there in the house. Have you ever run across anything like that?
Sure. I mean, I've had that happen in some relationship with not with me, but with other people that talk to me about it, about that. And what I got a friend right now that he ended up with his child, but before the mom was trying to pit him against his dad, and she went on and dated other people. She didn't remarry, but she went on and dated other people. But the whole time, that relationship that young man had with his dad was so strong that when you get 13, you can choose which parent you want to live with.
Right.
And that child said, I want to live with my dad. Although he might have been around other guys that might have been, you know, okay to him. As you said, secretly, he wanted to be with his dad. A lot of times it don't be secret. They act out. So a lot of times kids act out whether sometimes they want attention, and it'd be negative attention, but they still getting attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of times the problem, I always see that, nobody ever tried to get to the underlying problem of why that child acting out.
Exactly.
You know what? I mean, he can be mad with the mom, but you know, when you're young, you can't talk back. That's why I talk about that box. Because people have stuff they want to say back to their parents, but they can't. And as you said, it could have been secretly, but it could have been openly too, but he might not never say it, I want my dad, until later on. But all the time he wanted to be with his dad.
Yeah,
so the thing usually happens if that man has built a relationship with that son or that daughter, they still don't want that dad in their lives. But a lot of times, you know, when they married a good guy, and he's a great guy, and he takes him to the ball game, he's always there, and he might, you know, like him, but he still ain't his. It's not his dad.
Yeah.
You know, if that's a good dad that he left, if it's a sorry dad, then a lot of times he just fall by the wayside. But in the long run, he still want, a lot of times he still want their dad. Because a lot of times, too, they were telling me when the women, the ladies were telling me with juvenile, in the juvenile system, where if they was trying to say anything against their dad, they automatic, the child defends that dad. I don't care how sorry that dad is. He can be a liar. He can be just no good. And that child will still defend his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because they love their dad. They love their
right.
mom. But a lot of times, whether they're man dad or not, he get defended by that child, and he don't really deserve it. Because you have lied to that child. You have not been there for that child. So you shouldn't get the honor. I mean, you should, but then again, you should. But
that's still half of the child, though, you know. And I think that's sometimes what we don't pay enough respect to is that regardless to who that the dad is, the biological father, that's still half of the child. And I think some place in the child, they understand, you know, like I came from both my mom and my dad, you know, I'm a part of both of them. And so, and I've seen, you know, where women will just berate a man down to nothing, you know, for whatever reason, And that just, you can see the little spirit in the child just like, just being crushed slowly and slowly, like the big weights that they use at the car wrecking place, you know. It's just like they just get crushed down to nothing. So, so we've got another caller, and they've been very patient. But let me just say to the audience, because I know this is really getting deep now. So we got about only 30 minutes left in the show. Mr. Campbell is available to answer any questions or comments that you may have. Our number here is 516-531-9819. And all you have to do is push 1 on the dial, and I may not get you right away, but I will get you. So if you push 1, then that lets me know you want to speak live on air. So our next caller is 470-808. You want to give us your name and your comment or question, please?
My name is Tammy Kenny.
Hey, Tammy.
How are you, Sandy? How are
Going
you?
Going well. How are you, darling?
I'm good. Great show, great topic. My question is, I heard you say, Mr. Campbell, that you were a single parent. As a male single parent, I think I might have missed where you – I don't know if you have sons, daughters, a mix. I didn't quite hear that, or maybe I missed it. Because my question is, what type of fear did you have as a man raising, as being a single parent? Things that you thought that you couldn't handle, but you did.
Great question, great question. Okay, I have 3 biological children and 2 stepchildren. There's I have a biological son and 2 biological daughters. I have a stepdaughter and a stepson. Now, it was interesting because when I had my children by myself, the youngest daughter was 4 years old. Trust me, it was scary. But, you know, you don't have time really to be scared. You just need to do it. I mean, I didn't realize later on that I had did so much stuff because I was in school at the same time trying to get my bachelor's degree. I was a deputy at the time. I had stopped being a deputy. I was a probation officer at the time. And going to school at night, working during the day. And but I had a 15-year-old daughter, and I had a 10-year-old son, a 9-year-old son at the time. So what helped me was, like, doing hair. It was scary because, like, my 4-year-old, she was in daycare, and I remember one time when I used to have some people that would help me do hair, but one time I didn't get nobody. I put it in pigtails, and the little girl, and then when she got to school, my daughter, the lady said, "Oh, your daddy must have did this." And I was like, "I'm sorry. I did the best I could." But she could tell it was sticking straight out on both sides. So I didn't really know what I was doing. But, you know, that taught me that. I said, "Look," I told my 15-year-old daughter, "you got to do your sister's hair." And she did that. One other time that played a part when my daughter had her first menstrual cycle, they called me from school and said, "Your daughter had an accident." I said, "Oh, my God, what's wrong? Oh." They said, "Oh, Ms. Kim, not like that. No, it's not that kind of accident." I thought she was hurt because when they didn't tell me what happened when I got there. I was so embarrassed because I didn't know what to do. Then I called her mom and said, "You need to talk to them. I don't know what they're doing." By that time, I was dating somebody. Then they talked to her, along with the mom. They talked to them. To her, and they kind of talked to her. The 15-year-old, she talked to her. So she got schooled in that area, you know. But I always talk to my girls about boys and what boys gonna do. And I'm able to talk to females about what to expect from guys because I know what guys gonna do. One thing they always heard me say, I said, you know, the game don't change; it's the players. So the stuff I told my daughters. The things I told my daughter came back and said, "Dad, you know what? Everything you said, them guys said exactly what you're going to say they're going to say. I said, "Honey, the game don't change." So that was the advantage for me, knowing how to talk to girls about that. But some other little things, I just played it as I went along. I talked to other females about stuff, and they used to tell me, "So this is what you need to do," and all that. So I had female friends that I used to have conversation with to kind of school me about being a single parent.
Wow. So, Thank you so much for that answer.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling in.
All righty.
And let me give credit to Tammy, who recommended and referred you as a speaker. And, Tammy, it was an excellent referral. Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Tammy. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Any more questions for anybody?
Callers, you, again, if you're already on, just hit 1 on your dial. That'll let us know. Otherwise, you can call in at 516-531-9819. So we're talking about fathers, we're talking about parenthood, we're talking about children of single parents, and we've got another caller, so I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. That is 404-408. If you would give us your name and your question or comment, please.
Hey, Sandy, this is Ken Spears. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to, you know, commend you and your guests for a very informative program that you have on today. Very informative.
Thank you.
I've been listening.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's very good. I don't have any questions per se, but one thing I know, I taught high school for years, and in my experience, the things that he mentioned in terms of the kids needing a father, and not only on the guy's side but the girl's side, it's just rough for them. And you know, even with family members and friends who've gone through, and, you know, yeah, I know some people who've been. You you know, see what he has described. It was very vivid for me, and it's probably vivid for a whole lot of other people. But it's good therapy for I think anyone listening that they would be very informed. And it was. I'm just rambling, but I appreciate the show.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you
I appreciate
very much.
You for bringing that up, you know, that, and I think Star kind of alluded to that, too, in the statement that she made that, you know, those attitudes get carried over, you know, from being a child or being a man, and you don't really mm-hmm. have a clue as to how to do it, thankfully. You know, Mr. Campbell had the spirit within him that helped him to even want to do something different. But not all people, you know, have that. And so, by you sharing your experiences as well, you know, just helps us to kind of see. And I'm sure we all know both boys and girls that. You know, have those type of experiences in life and how difficult it can be. I know I had, that's why I brought up the question about, you know, the children that, man, they really want to be with their dad. You know, it's okay that you got mm-hmm. somebody new, but I want my dad, you know, so.
It's, you know, it's like I grew up with my dad, but when he passed, it was like the whole earth fell from underneath.
Wow.
Just to know that he passed.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So
yep.
just imagine what, you know, this. My father passed, you know, later in my life. But, I mean, just think about the child, the young child, where that father just dips out, you know, and they don't hear from him or see anything. And they probably feel the same thing, that the earth just moves out from underneath and they're just free falling into anything. So, you know, it's good that you have these discussions in terms of knowing what to do to, you know, legitimize and just be there, because I think that's what the kids want. They want you to be there.
Yeah.
The power of presence. If you're not there, you know, you're not there. But the presence, it makes a difference. Being there makes a difference. Caring about them makes a difference. And that's all I have to say.
Well, I thank
well,
you for that information. I thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, but because I think we need to hear from people like you who do have that experience in the school, well, had the experience in the school system with the kids, because you saw firsthand the attitudes. And if people ever sit down and talk to kids, a lot of times when they get comfortable with you, they'll tell you the truth, how they feel.
Oh, yeah. I had experiences where, you know, I would be in my planning period, and they look up to somebody that's going to listen to them. So
exactly.
They would come
yeah.
to my room in the middle of my planning period. And we just sit and talk. No judgment, no, nothing, just talk. And then they go about the merry way. They'll return and they'll return. They want more of that. And I think it's mm-hmm. as a result of what lacked in their homes. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's a teacher or, you know, just somebody they know that they can trust, not some knucklehead or creep or anything, but
right,
just somebody
right.
that they feel they can trust, and they know who they can trust, because they
mm-hmm.
have a sense of or discernment regarding who they can trust. So, you know, like I said, the information you gave is wonderful, and I appreciate it. It made me think. Real hard.
Right.
Well, we'll appreciate you. We've got two more callers on. Our next caller is 706-224. If you would give us your name and your comment or question, please.
Yes, my name is Stephanie Smith.
Stephanie.
And I have a question for Mr. Charles. And my question is, I wanted to know, I am a mother. I want to know, how would I go about, my son is 27, and he spends time with his dad, but the response from his father, it frustrates him when he don't get the response back, like on big events. Like, he had a birthday 2 weeks ago, and his desire was for his dad to come to his birthday party. But it's like every major event in his life, his dad always disappoint him with, he got something to do. And as a mother, it hurts me, because he want to spend, he want his dad to spend special events. He appreciates me. He loves me. He know I've done a lot for him, and I've been there as a mother. But he wants his dad to understand that, you know, I'm grown now, and little things I would like for you to spend time. So as a mother, my question is, how do I go about talking to the father to get him to understand that even though his son is grown, he still wants him in his life, especially at events that he has?
Well, I don't know if you could do anything, because I don't know what kind of relationship you and the father have. But a lot of times, if you know some of the people that know him, know some of the guys who know him, you would, you could say, you know, can you talk to your friend about your son? And also have your son to just say, Dad, you know, come low, straight 100. I've been wanting you in my life. At these such events, you don't show up, and then you lie about it. Call us, put his hand, foot to the fire. Have your son to put to have his dad put his dad foot to the fire. But also, if you can kind of roundabout in the backside of it, talk to somebody that you know that's friends with him, and say, can you get him to talk to spend time with his friend, his son? I mean, because he might not want to hear from you. I don't know what kind of relationship you and him have. But at the same time, if you can't get involved and talk to him, because if he's not going to hear, he probably not going to hear, want to hear from you, because they feel like you beating up on him about him not doing the job.
Right.
Nobody want to hear that. But a lot of times, if your friend tell you, you kind of take a little, you think about it a little bit more. That's just what I'm thinking off the top of my head. I would try that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yes,
thank you.
You're welcome. Great show.
Thank you very much. And our next caller is 928-978. You want to give us your name and your question or comment, please?
This is Madeline.
Hey, Madeline.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Doing well, and yourself?
Oh, good, good. Thank you, thank you. When it comes to children, and this whole conversation is so powerful and so needed, so needed. None of us had gotten a manual on how to raise children. None of us. So we take what we've learned from our parents, and most times we flip it around to make it different, because what we had received didn't work for us. So we want to make it better for our children. And I remember when my daughter was pregnant with her child, and I said, no matter how great you think you're going to be a parent, your child is going to find fault. And he did. And now he's 26 years old. So what we do as parents is the best we can. And the most important part of being a parent is listening to the child.
Amen.
Not dismissing what the child is saying, but doing our best to give the child what the child is needing.
All right, I agree.
That's about all I have to say about that.
Okay. Well, I agree, ma'am.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I'm 61 years old, so I know the old way of doing it by saying, you do it because I said so.
That doesn't work.
It don't work. As she said, you got to listen. You got to listen. I was a certified mediator. One thing I learned is you have to listen to both sides in mediation, and then you come up with a happy, try to come up with a happy medium. So if I took some of that kind of learning, teaching of you know, just listen to your children. Because I used to always ask my children, what do you think about this? Just tell me what you think. And just listen to what they are saying, then something may change my mind. So we don't have all the answers, like you said. We do the best we can. But at the same time, being a listener, and you don't have to always agree with the child. You can say, I heard you. But, yeah, I mean, this is the way we're going to do it, but I heard what you said, and I respect what you said. Give them the respect they need and deserve. But also, you'll try to guide them, you know. So that's my take on that.
Yeah. Because they want to be, children want to know that they're important, and how they feel they're important is by you guiding them in a way that they know that you're coming from your heart and doing the best for them, not selfishly for yourself.
You know, it's just like when you're teaching them to walk and you hold a hand out, they'll learn to trust you, and then you guide them. And that, you know, they make them steps on their own, but you try to be there just in case they follow. You got them, and that's what the children want to let you know. You got me. So that's kind of the way I look at it from a child to the adults. You just always be there to have them. Just, you know, be there for them. Sometimes it just takes being there for time. Just be there to just be there for them.
Exactly.
And Charles, you brought up a very important part too, that listening. You know, that becomes extremely powerful for a child, and it doesn't even have to amount to anything. But just the fact, you know, like Ken was saying too, you know, like they just have somebody that they can trust and talk to, just means so much to a child.
Mm-hmm. And when they get to be adults too, me and my son, we have a lot of good talk. But each one of my kids, all five of them, when I talk to them, it always a good conversation, because I want to hear what they got to say first. I want to listen to them, and then I want to tell you what I think about it, whether I agree with you or disagree, and just tell you how I like to see it. That's what I tell them. But your voice means something. And then the hardest thing for parents is they don't want to hear what teenagers say. That's the hardest time. Middle school is the time that kids really have problems, and that's the time you really need to listen the most.
Yes, indeed. Say that one again.
That age group.
I said say that one again. That's a very pivotal age, that middle school, high school, whatever we call it now,
It's the biggest change of their lives. You know, they have changed when they go to kindergarten to middle school, then from middle school to high school. But the middle school is what's going to make them break them.
Mm-hmm.
It changes. They change so much between that time. And that's the time that parents seem to act like they want to listen. You just do what I tell you to do. No, these kids, you need to listen to them. Yeah, listen to them. Whether you like what they say or not, listen to them. And respect what they said. You don't have to agree with it. Just respect what they said. So that's just the way I see it. And I've seen that middle school group. I've worked with that middle school group. That is just hardest time. middle school teachers really gets it. Get the, you know, if they between elementary when they just so sweet and all that, and then they just do it wild at middle school, and then they kind of try to go a different route when they get in high school. But they become in ninth grade, they become the little kid on the block again. So you're the big kid.
Yeah,
on the
but
block
you know they got all those hormones coming up and coming out.
Yeah.
And nobody have forewarned them, just like no one forewarned you about your little daughter that was going to be having a menstrual cycle, and so, you know, you freak out and, you know, don't know what to do. It's the same thing with the children. So if we can prepare them, okay, look, you may not believe me because I'm an old senile person like you always tell me, but, you know, at such and such an age, things going to start changing and you're going to be, you know, looking at things differently or however you say it, you know, to the child. At least they'll know to be looking out for something, you know.
Right,
but that stuff
right.
can hit, man. And you've been, and as a little child or a younger person, you know, you'd be like, oh, my God, what's going on? You know, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore type of deal. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And these kids get started early in areas that they shouldn't be.
Yeah, they do.
But they know about a whole lot more than you think they do.
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes
so
being
so much
in
more
the
is made available to them, you know.
Right. And that internet has changed a whole lot in this world.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
They have access, and parents ain't paying attention. They just let the internet raise them. Oh, don't
yep.
do that. You need
yep.
to find out what they're watching. Look at the history. Go back and
yep.
look at the history of what they've been looking at.
Yep.
And you will be surprised.
Yeah, because even
so,
with the supposedly, I don't know what the ratings are now, but the ones for the children, some of those can be a little scary
mm-hmm.
as well. So, you know, if
yes.
you have the time, parents, grandparents, and you've got small children or youth that are in your custody, I would suggest that you may want to be around them to pay attention to what they're looking at because they have subliminal messages and all of that stuff. So just be careful.
Exactly. Because, you know, you got kids 3 and 4 years old. They got their own little tablets.
I know, right?
These days. And they know how to go to the end. I was surprised how much they know. You know,
yeah.
we had a young lady that was our guard child. And she was like 3 and 4 years old. And she got my phone and I had to get a video of her. She was able to go back and find it. Like, this
oh, wow.
I didn't know how she did it, but she would always pull that video up.
Wow.
Mama, how did you do that? So,
wow.
you know, she just, I mean, she was like 3 or 4 years old, I remember. She was so young, I'm like, how'd she know? And we got grandkids that know a whole lot more than I thought they did.
Yeah.
They know how to do it. Everything with that tablet, everything with that phone.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
so
we must be paying attention. At all
exactly.
times.
Watch what they're watching.
Yep.
Go back and look at the history. Find out what they're looking at. You're going to
yep.
be surprised.
Exactly. Well, we're coming down to the gate, to the last part of this show. And so we have Star, and we've got Tammy and Ken and Madeline and Stephanie, whose lines have been open. If any of you have anything additional you would like to say to Mr. Campbell, now would be the perfect time to do that. And Mr. Campbell, if you have information that you can share with the audience about how someone can contact you for a private conversation or help or whatever they may need, if you can give us your contact information, that would be helpful. And so we got about 4 minutes left in the show. So would you give us your contact information first? So callers, you guys hold on for 1 second. Let him tell people how to get in contact with him and then I'll open up the lines for you.
Okay. All right, my name is Charles Campbell, and my phone number is area code 706-224-3371. My email address is charles6622@yahoo.com. Okay? So they can email me or they can call me.
And that was charles6622@yahoo?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And the phone number, again, is 706-224-3371.
That's correct.
And we'll say it one more time before we end in case you need to get a piece of paper and an ink pen. And so whoever that was, you can go ahead and open your line back up and let us know your thoughts, your comments, or what have you.
Well, I'm going to jump right in here. This is Star Waters. I have a question for you, Mr. Campbell. And that
okay,
question is, how much of men participating in their children's lives have to do with slavery? And is this part of our gene pool that we've just gotten in the habit of not being responsible for family members?
Well, I don't know that answer about how many of the percentage that has to do with slavery, because I'm not sure. I mean, I just haven't seen any statistics on that, and me personally, I don't know. I don't know exactly how many, but I assume that a lot of things that we get from our ancestors and from our things like that, I don't know if it's not in our genes to do it. It's a learned thing. So I don't know. Back in them days, fathers was always working as a slave. They was always working, and they weren't in the control like we have today.
Their children were taken away from them back in the early, like, 40s and 50s, you know, in order for the family to get welfare. There could be no men in the house. I'm just wondering how much of our history has played on this now modern day dilemma of not having the fathers in the house.
The underlying it unconsciously, it might have something to do with it, but nobody ever did any research on it that I know of.
That would be a good research project.
Sounds like it. Somebody needs to take that task on to go back and try to look at the way that fathers were. Because back in the old days, fathers started out wanting to be there, but like you said, when that welfare system come in, they were pushing men out. And that was, I think, a calculated thing toward the other race that we wanted us to do
that. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was. So I think that was a common thing that they broke up the family, and that was a calculated thing they did on purpose. And this is part of it. So if you go back and look at the history of it, when they brought in warfare and, you know, the dependence on the government, then they kind of pushed men out. And the women just said, you got to go. You got to go. Because a lot of them wasn't married. But they still had the children. They had that common law marriage. You stayed in with people. If you stayed together for six months or more, you can be considered married. You know, but it started back then for that part of it. But go back to slavery, I'm not sure how that went. Because back in slavery, men wanted to be around their family. Their family got taken away from them.
Yes, that's it. Families would be broken up.
It wasn't their fault then.
Well, Charles, we certainly appreciate you. We are down to the final 10 seconds left in the show. We appreciate you for educating us and giving us so much helpful, useful information and for starting the dialogue between so many of us, that the callers that have called in, and helping us to understand the system a little bit better. I know for me, like I said, I've got some information tonight that I didn't understand that I know. So I appreciate that very much. So the three steps that Mr. Campbell gave us was if you're not married when you become a father of a child is to get a DNA test. Because that's required for you to file for your rights, which is the second step, to be a legal father of the child, which legitimates the child. And then the third thing that you want to do, the third step, is to ask the courts for custody of the child. And Mr. Campbell is available to talk with you. His phone number is 706-224-3371, or you can send him an email at charles6622@yahoo.com. And, again, we certainly appreciate, and we're going to have you back, man. I tell you, that was some really wonderful information that you gave us. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, and I will be glad to come back anytime.
All right. We'll make
and
you keep that promise. And thanks, everybody, for being with us tonight. It was truly an eye-opener and an educational moment. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Bye. Thank you.